The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 2nd of April, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. We're going to get the show started. I've got lots to talk about today. Public Disclosure Committee, murder in Low Sound, man murdered on Bimini, mass shooting, six reportedly injured. King Charles hopes to visit Bahamas next year. Along with the unfortunate local news, we have another sad story. Parent dies at Karifta swim event. Another set of stories led off by today's Tribune. BPL races to be ready for 26 megawatt Nassau peak summer demand jump. Well, that's one Karifta-sized race because they're also racing to raise $1 billion. It's going to be an interesting show this morning. Before we get the show started, I send out a hearty plea to the Hanahasty Tynes family and friends of the family. This Saturday, April the 6th, 2024, we're having a South Out and Walkathon starting at St. John's College campus. To purchase South Out tickets, to pick up your Walkathon sheet, contact 424-7228. That's 424-7228 or 455-7242. That's 455-7242. We have two routes for you. We have the on-campus route, and then we have a secondary route from Bishop Eldon Drive to Bethel Avenue, JFK, and then we're going to make our way back around to Bethel Avenue from McKinney Avenue. It's going to be a grand time. We're going to have turkey, pig feet, and chicken sauce on sale, lemonades, water, and a good time. Joining me in studio this morning is Mr. C.A. Newry. Good morning, Mr. Newry. How are you?
Good morning, Erin. Can I borrow your pen?
Sure you can.
I had to ask on air because you might have said no.
Yeah, you know.
Yes, you had to ask. I know I need to write down some notes.
Yes, sir.
It's good to be back after a long holiday. I didn't realize we'd have two holidays. It'd be Friday and a Monday.
Yeah.
So I'm getting used to that. So I'm trying to get back in the hang of things, hang of working.
Because when you're in the tourism world, right, the calendar is different. The culture is different. Holidays are different. At least the way that we celebrate holidays are different. People in the tourism industry are extraordinary citizens.
You know that extraordinary means that they are very ordinary. But extraordinary means that they are special. Are we extra? Are we extraordinary or are we just very ordinary?
No, I mean, I don't even mean any of those two. I mean, you are above the ordinary citizen, more or different things, let me say different things are required from you. Like, you are not allowed to get excited when there's a public holiday. You got to check your schedule first.
Yes.
And even when you check your schedule, you have to be prepared to get called in on a whim, on the fly, or called in to give another coworker an opportunity to celebrate a public holiday with their family. It was a busy, busy weekend. I see the headline. We have a headline somewhere here that talked about thousands of visitors over the weekend. I think it's, there we go, Guardian Business, almost 2 million visitors in first 2 months of 2024. I wonder if the Ministry of Tourism is determining clearly how many of these 2 million visitors are customers of the Bahamas, the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, or are they customers of the resorts or customers of the cruise line?
You've made that distinction several times.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to understand exactly what do you mean. If they're in the Bahamas, surely they're Bahamian customers. But I'm going to allow you to explain why you always bring it up.
All right, because the resort brings in guests, and those guests, I'm going to say the guests spend the majority of the money that they spend in the Bahamas is actually spent through the resort, the vast majority, right? The cruise line, same way. The cruise line is making the profit from bringing the tourists to the Bahamas. The resort is making the profit, the bulk of the profit, from bringing the tourists to the Bahamas. What the government is actually collecting guaranteed is just taxes, right? The departure tax, there's no tax to come in, right? But there's a passenger levy for every passenger you bring in? All of these things are just taxes that the government collects. When the government talks about 2 million visitors, we really need to, I think, talk about it differently. I would like to see a breakdown in how much of the revenue generated by their travel, how much of that revenue sits in the consolidated fund, soon to sit in the tourism development fund. I think it's an important distinction if we're going to talk about creating policies to grow the tourism industry, but more importantly, policies to grow Bahamian participation in the tourism industry. I actually wanted to pick this story up maybe tomorrow on Wednesday to tie it into another story, which is coming from the boating industry, right? And the boating industry says, hey, there's a new requirement in the Boat Registration Act about insurance. And so for commercial operators who would provide tours, who have passengers on board their boat, they're now required to get local-based insurance, right? But it turns out that virtually no insurance company wants to offer that package because of the risk involved. And so the article gives you a snapshot of that industry and how that space has been operating for the last two or three decades. And it raises the question, well, whose tourism is it when you realize that, say, for the last 20 years, roughly, before this new legislation was passed, these commercial tour operators were being insured through a package provided or facilitated by the cruise industry itself.
It's an argument that we've had before regarding whose tourism is this. I think that's what I'm getting from you. And the challenge is whether there should be a distinction of the tourists belonging to the Bahamas, meaning that the efforts, the calculated or total efforts of the Bahamian government, the Bahamian people, draw these tourists here for the Bahamian benefit, or is it by consequence by private entities, private enterprise, their efforts brought those tourists here, and by that they have no obligation to share these tourists. They don't want the tourists come outside. All their efforts is to keep their tourists in their all-inclusive properties, inclusive of the cruise ships.
Mm-hmm.
And by extension, I saw an article that had the Minister of Tourism, the Deputy Prime Minister, Chester Cooper,
mm-hmm.
who mentioned that in the future, he foresees the cruise ships no longer issuing warnings or discontinue issuing warnings about their passengers disembarking onto Bohemian soil.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that interesting, that in the future, that plans to come, not now, right? So at this present time, they still could give warnings that do not come off the ship, it's not safe in the Bahamas. And gives credence to your argument on those tourists that we see on Bay Street do not belong to us. We get that subsequent or by chance. They actually belong to the cruise ship. And if they want to get us to have some benefits of it, we should be glad that they came off the boat.
And that's why the conversation about, well, what is the role, what is the place and the role of the Nassau Cruise Port in the Bahamian tourism product? And does the Bahamian have a right, outside of being a stockholder or a shareholder, does the Bahamian have a right to engage that conversation or to make any demands, to make any declarations? Look at, this is what the tourism product is, and this is what you, external foreign investor, this is what you have to grapple with. This is what you have to find balance with, and not the other way around, where we are now trying to figure out how to extract more money from a cruise passenger. I had the fortune of going on a cruise, and I said the fortune to be able to experience it firsthand,
mm-hmm.
right? And so for me, it was really, you are attempting to extract, right, from me more cash. I've already paid for my mm-hmm. vacation, and now it's up to me to make the best of what I can, right, for what I've already paid for. And so how do we insert ourselves into that space and change it, right? But say that's a conversation I wanted to throw on the table for Wednesday or Thursday.
Yes, it sounds like a good conversation. I don't want to...
Because I think the article is important as well to read as a part of the conversation.
Okay.
I see we have a caller on the line before we get into declarations in the Public Disclosure Committee. Good morning, caller.
And how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Yes, I just want to make a comment on what you guys were just talking about tourism.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we have to look at is, one, depending on how much money you put into any endeavor, that is what you are looking at, the percentage you look in to share in regards to the profit. So mm-hmm. the question is that, what did we put in as far as all of these initiatives to be able to partake in this tourism outburst? That's one. Two, you have to ask is, what are the comparative and competitive advantages and disadvantages? Do we have the marketing schematics? Do we have overseas marketing schematics? Because I know for a fact that the majority of people sell in the Bahamas are in Bahamas, and they are overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is happening is that there is already a prepackaged situation. And then finally, one of the things what Bahamians are struggling with and fighting with is that there are so much subsidiaries within these companies that are owned by the cruise ship that are booking people, even the ones that they don't get, to be partake in their tours.
Mm-hmm.
So what you have is a complete monopoly and marginalization of us, because they have it locked in from top to bottom. So now when we look at strategically moving forward, we have to now find ways to break that barrier from over in the countries that where those people coming from. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you very much. As you were speaking, I thought to myself, you know, there's a entity called BASE, Bahamas Association of Shore Excursions, right? And that's an entity that individuals or entities, companies that want to provide onshore excursions can register with, right? So that you can build capacity, so you could make sure that you're hitting the criteria, standards, or markers that the cruise industry want or have set to ensure the safety of their guests, right? But is there an entity that will fund, support, provide technical support to an organization or a company that wants to provide a marketing service, right? That wants to create marketing campaigns for the Bahamas, not for Atlantis Paradise Island with the Bahamas conspicuously missing, right? Not for the other entity that wants to bring every family island excursion to New Providence, but for Bahamians. Before we move on, in today's Tribune section is another interesting article. Police fare over Airbnbs based in crime hotspots.
Airbnb is a problem.
They're not the crime hotspots.
They don't have no crime hotspots in the Airbnb.
No, of course not. But we have crime hotspots in New Providence. Maybe the problem is the crime hotspot. Don't worry about the Airbnb being there, because then it makes it feel like that you're only concerned about crime when there's an intersection with tourists, right? Otherwise, we're not concerned about it.
I'm assuming that these tourists are local, because they are. I'm assuming, I didn't get to read the article, right? But I'm assuming that they're saying that the attendees, the Bahamian attendees of these Airbnb causes crime.
That's okay. Well, let me read the article quickly.
Okay, go ahead.
The Royal Bahamian Police Force is urging immediate, in quotation marks, regulation of the vacation rental market after finding growing numbers of tourists wandering around over the hill, quote, crime hotspots, close quotes.
What? The police say that?
Yeah. Well, this is what the Tribune article says, the police said.
They have in quotes.
No, only immediate was in quotes and okay. Crime hotspots was in quotes.
Okay, listen.
Chief Superintendent Skippings, the force's chief spokesperson, told the Bahamas Hotel and Tourism Association's latest quarterly meeting that officers were becoming increasingly alarmed over visitor safety, having found vacation rental guests walking in areas such as Baintown, The Grove, and other parts of inner city New Providence.
So inner city New Providence is a problem for tourists, and they should not be allowed to walk over the hill. And why is the Skippings talking to the Hotel Association, but that has nothing to do with Airbnbs?
Well, no. Apparently, it does.
It does?
Well, remember when we were talking about Windsor Lakes Project and how it used to be the Adelaide Pines development for middle to upper middle class income? And I was like, yeah, but it still doesn't provide a solution for the majority of working Bahamians. Anyway, the point is this, is that the Windsor Lakes development has what appears to be an Airbnb or a short-term rental scheme, right? An Airbnb-like scheme operating, or they plan to operate. And remember I told you that if we don't hear anything from the hotel association about it, then maybe they're okay with it?
But at one point in time, I believe still at this present time, the hotel association, this one, managers association, lobbied the government to regulate in terms of discontinuing, so they compete and unfairly competing against their tourism product.
I think the lobby was there should at least be a commensurate amount of taxation. The hotels were saying the amount of taxation that our customers are subject to Airbnb has an advantage. Airbnb providers have an advantage because they're not subject to the same amount of taxes.
And then you have the Minister of Tourism who's encouraging Bahamians to go into Airbnb. In fact, government is giving you free land.
No, I didn't hear that part.
No?
The BAIC? No, I had BAIC on.
That's government.
And they were talking about an opportunity available to people who want to provide touristic experiences.
And they're giving away all my information. They give you access to Crown land if you are able to develop an Airbnb project.
Don't worry, we talk about that on the show.
Yes. And so you have Minister of Tourism encouraging that, and then you have...
Now, here's the tension,
go ahead.
Right? The tension is this, is that I am concerned about a Ministry of Tourism strongly lobbying Bahamians to open their homes to tourists via Airbnb in the midst of a housing crisis, right? Yeah. I'm terribly concerned about that because nobody is encouraging strongly Bahamians to provide even temporary or emergency housing solutions for other Bahamians through an Airbnb-style scheme. But here's where the tension sits. Outside of that little tension, Airbnb seems to be our best bet at our own tourism market.
To own it.
Right. See, because the guests that come and stay at Airbnb, they are the guests of Bahamians.
Yes.
Right? And the...
This is an extension of people to people.
And the technical the service platform facilitates the connection between, like you say, between people and people.
I'm talking about the program, people to people.
Okay.
Independent, an old song they say, people to people. Someone get a song by Eddie Minnis.
Right.
But I want you to read that article again, and I'm going to shout out people to people program every time you say Airbnb, just so we can understand what the attack is by what Skippin is doing. I just wanted to do
Now, when you say attack,
it isn't an attack.
Well, okay, let's go to that part of the conversation
trying
right now.
Trying to make people violent.
I have a different concern. My concern is this. Were you not aware of the conditions in these communities before tourists started popping up? Did you not have any solutions or strategies to employ to reduce crime and violence in these communities before you realize that there were Airbnb people-to-people opportunities in these communities?
They're saying that Over the Hill is violent and not tourist-friendly. And that is what we need to be careful of. And if that is true, if it is true that it was Skippin and saying, they need to declare that the police think that Over the Hill is violent for tourists and let it be known to all and sundry. See, that's the official opinion of the police. Be quiet.
That ties us back to the conversation about boat registration and insurance requirements under the new act. Because who then can participate in the tourism product? Who can provide a service as an owner as opposed to an employee of a foreign direct investor? But let's get to the text.
Go ahead.
Quickly. One text, some of the hotels don't want guests to really venture outside the hotel.
We know that.
Dear texter, the first text of the day, I'm going to get back to that in a moment. Second text, LOL. I wonder if we'll ever get to the point like other mass market tourism destinations where we say, we just can't take no more, y'all, we full. I don't know what's wrong with our police PR, who hasn't seen strange people walking around numerous local communities for years. Another text. Great show as usual. Ms. Green, the three things people don't return: a fountain tip pen, any amount of money over $3, and a cigarette lighter. I won't even drive past Baintown or Over the Hill, not my mother's first child. Is this how Bahamians think about?
This is how Bahamians view themselves.
Because, look, some of the most important social, cultural, religious, and political movements, spaces, are in the Over the Hill area.
This is why Bay Street is coveted and have bleachers. The people who sit in Bay Street don't want to be amongst these same Over the Hill people.
But these people are primarily people who grew up Over the Hill, or better than that, you can't go to an event where they're speaking and they don't mention
that they came from humble
beginnings. That they was ensconced in the poverty of Over the Hill and how beautiful it was, that poverty, but not this poverty. Mm-hmm. This poverty is a different type of poverty. Anyway, I can get back. Let's read and finish
please.
Out that article,
and then
we can transition to public disclosures. Again, the Royal Bahamas Police Force is urging, quote, immediate, close quote, regulation of the vacation rental market after finding growing numbers of tourists wandering around Over the Hill, quote, crime hotspots, close quotes. Chief Superintendent Skippings, the force's chief spokesperson, told the BHTA latest quarterly meeting that officers were becoming increasingly alarmed over visitor safety, having found vacation rental guests walking in areas such as Baynetown, The Grove, and other parts of inner city New Providence, disclosing that the police are already working through the various urban renewal centers to compile a list of Airbnbs and other vacation rentals in Over the Hill areas. She urged that, quote, preventative measures be put in place before something happens, close quotes, as the first armed robbery, shooting, or any other incident will immediately cause visitors to label the Bahamas as, quote, unsafe, close quotes, on social media and elsewhere. Quote, as I talk about Airbnbs, we need to bring some form of regulation to the Airbnbs that we see in the country. What type of regulation could they bring that is not discriminatory?
They're suggesting ban. We must analyze what this is for what it is. She's, I shame even to listen to this
one. No, because what I am inferring from your suggestion is that the police are saying, listen, y'all just trying to make our work even more difficult, because we actually going to have to police if you put tourists in this area. That's what I infer from what you imply. I continue, Superintendent Skipping's urge, quote, there are times as police officers that we traverse the inner city and go into Baynetown, or go into The Grove and we find visitors walking in those areas. You did not expect to find visitors experiencing and exploring the country and the island that they visited? Quote, it is a concern for us in law enforcement, especially when we know where the crime hotspots are and we see our visitors who indicate they are staying in Airbnbs in a particular area. We need to bring some form of regulation to that so we can prevent incidents from occurring within these areas. You know what? I also hope that this is not the beginning of a conversation about how we have to create a police state within the inner city communities in the interest of protecting tourists. I'm opposed to creating a police state in the inner city in the interest of protecting citizens of the Bahamas generally and those people in the inner city. There are other strategies available to you versus creating a police state. Another text, good morning, Ms. Green. One time ago, we had people-to-people Airbnb is another version. Yes, I know. I know. Mr. Nuri reminded me. And it's a wonderful program. It's an absolutely wonderful program. But here is this tension, right? The tension on one part, that you have the Minister of Tourism encouraging Bahamians to open up their homes to tourists in the midst of a housing crisis, in particular after the worst environmental disaster or natural disaster we've ever had, which is Dorian, and the displacement and resettlement, internal displacement and resettlement of citizens to New Providence and other family islands. But then there is also the tension of it seeming that you only focus on this as an urgent matter because of the involvement of tourists. So let me read these texts. Producer, if we have a break, we could go to a break and then we're going to transition. First text, great show as usual. The tourists, we don't harm white people. I'm a citizen. I want the police to protect me. My life is important to me. Another text here, just another tactic of taking money from the small man. Only hotels deserve the guests and tourists, I suppose. It's our duty to interrogate these things if we say that we are citizens of a sovereign country. We're going to continue that conversation tomorrow. There you go, using Baynetown as an excuse to attack the Airbnb. It wasn't me. I'm only reading what's in the paper. And I think that even the intentions of the RBPF are good, even if misorganized and poorly articulated. We're going to a break. You're on the clock. And when we get back, I'm on the clock. Mr. Fred Mitchell says, talk to the chairman of the Public Disclosure Committee. So I hope we could do that. And through the newspaper, of course. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Girl, you see how Cora her eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she says she bumped into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
So what you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business, then Jack come after me, and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how does this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and we could text them. And the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone, so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. We are transitioning right now. It is April the 2nd. I wish we could have had this conversation yesterday, but everybody wanted a holiday, so I said I'm not going to push the issue. In today's Tribune, disclosures filed by some MPs as others decline response. That's in today's...
Can you imagine we have a public servant declining to respond? I'm not answering you. What you ask me about my declaration for?
Because the Constitution said I should ask you.
They don't give a flying foot about the Constitution and the people of the Bahamas. That's why they got answers, so...
This is a very, very concerning issue. And so much so.
You, for the last 3 years, the Bahamian people have been given an outcry. We demand from the Prime Minister, we demand from the leader of the opposition, and we hear silence. And this is where you critique the Prime Minister and say he just won't fly around. Because this is something that we've been asking for a while, and they continue to ignore us. It tells a tale of what they think about us. It tells a tale about us, actually, for what we tolerate. So, we are prepared and we are accepting that we don't care that our politicians don't report. It is what it is. And why you keep on bringing it up?
I care. Because I care.
You're a minority. I bet you wouldn't even get one person who call who said they care.
Here's the beauty of it. I'm a minority.
Yes.
But if it's me, Erin, and the Constitution, then I'm a majority.
No, you're the minority.
I love that. That's Obeah. It's me, one, I'm a minority, I agree with you, but me and the Constitution
politicians
make me a majority.
Money alone.
Let's go to the phone line, and then when we get back from the phone line...
You always want to ask their business. Leave them their money alone. That's their money. Let's get used to this and move on and find something else to talk about, because they have determined that they ain't going to never tell us how much they make.
You want to talk about something else? We can talk about how FTX only get 25 years.
We can talk about that, but don't make no noise about the politicians and their money, man.
In a moment. Good morning, caller.
Hello, good morning.
Morning, sir. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm okay. I like C.A. Nuri jokes and facade sometimes, right? But, you know, as a man about to be 60 and living in this country from the time I was born, it's really pathetic the way we can't cohese for positive results, right? Like, you know, we are going to be continually being treated this way. As C.A. Nuri is suggesting, because what one should realize is silence brings consent. It doesn't mean that being silent about something is consent, but silence will bring consent because that's what the ruling class will continue to do. So the question becomes the police state. We are a police state because we have the media not pressing the police for accountability. We saw an article on Facebook concerning a senior officer. We saw them breaching people's human rights on the Goodman's Bay Beach, senior officers yucking people's phone, et cetera, as if he was never born from a female, right? And we sit idly by and allow the police to abuse us continually. There's no accountability. The commissioner speaks on what he wants to speak about, but yet still, there is something in the article about something nefarious happened between a senior officer what he did. It's in the news, but thank God, there is social media in which you cannot control the news. But what they are guilty of is not disclosing their insubordinations and nefarious activity within the force that is serving the public. Why are we allowing them to do this to us? Why we are not caring about ourselves? We saw an incident. Well, first of all, I like the hats off to the officer who arrested the other officer with the gun in the front of the club on Cowpen Road that was in the news. Hats off to him. Maybe he should be the new leader. But what I'm saying is, he probably himself is catching hell. Boy, say, boy, you arrest a fellow officer. So what I'm saying is, the police officers must, the morale must be increased. Now, poor people was crying out the police was doing what they did to this businessman, allegedly, over and over. Nothing is being done. Mm-hmm. And so we are in a police state when the police determines what reached the news and the media is not pressing them to disclose what they need to disclose, hence the Freedom of the Information or Disinformation Act. So I heard skippings, and I heard, you know, what she said, but we cannot allow the police to become the gospel of what is happening. And that is not a free society, okay? And it is sickening for me because these people are serving the public. We shouldn't have to ask us. These things should be recorded on camera. Until then, we are pathetic. Then I could surmise that with the Azario Major case and with the case on Cowpen Road, that I see officers hanging out at bars and clubs and drinking, and they are in the position they're carrying firearms because they have the ranks to do so. So then I could surmise, conclude, or whatever, that this is a trend. And so this is deadly in itself, okay? And we're just allowing them to just do what they do every day, all day, no accountability. I've said what they've done to me. Other people have said what they've done to me. But then you have status quo narratives are being upheld by supposedly educated people who are guilty of festering this problem by not acknowledging the problem and continuing to say this now that there's only a few bad apples when apples are dropping off the tree every day and we sit by idly and, you know, we should lionize them when they deserve to do so. But we have to make them accountable for the way they interact with the public. Otherwise, Charlotte Green, I love Charlotte Green. Listen, man, what she's saying is true, okay? We cannot allow the country to run like this. Why is it the United States not stepping in? Why is it people not pressuring the police to do right? You know, we're going to have nefarious officers, but they're coming from our communities, and it sickens me that poor people cannot get justice, and we're allowing them to do whatever they do, and no one holds them accountable for anything. So we are pathetic.
Thank you, 52. I feel your passion. Absolutely feel your passion. I think, you know, civil society is derelict. There should be organizations, and I focus on civil society because it is too mammoth a task for an individual alone to take on, two people alone to take on. Not just that, even if you have a group of people, you still require the support of a system operated by an organization and a structure, right? And so we need organizations so that we can organize our protests, we can organize our concerns, we can organize our research, right, and engage the state with solutions, effective, substantive solutions. Text here, Cecil, did you buy the man an adding machine? Be about the solution and not the problem. Another
boy.
Text, producer, I see we have a call on the line. IKEA. Cecil, the text is saying, I care, but even the current PM doesn't care to speak with the press. Of 195 countries in the world, only 180 listed as participants of global press freedom. Why not all 195, and why is the Bahamas unranked? Okay. Another text says, let's talk about Omar Archer's threat of a class action lawsuit on BPL that has seemingly caused them to reduce light bills.
Talk with sensible people, man.
We're going to talk about BPL soon. Well, good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, CA.
Blessings to you.
Good morning. How you do?
Man, happy Easter to all of you. You know, I just want to follow up on the tale of 52 just now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it saddens my heart to know that there are many concerned Bahamians out here who are under the struggle, who on a day-to-day basis, through the national airwaves and through the other airwaves that that's in this country, show the intelligence of the Bahamian people as it pertains to the matters that is affecting us negatively in this country. We're bringing up not only just the problems, but we're also offering solutions. But yet today, nothing seems to happen because it has fallen on deaf ears. We're talking about the politicians right now who have not disclosed as mandated by the Constitution, which is the supreme law of our country.
Mm-hmm.
And there's penalties for not disclosing.
2 years
there's
or
a time frame for when they are supposed to disclose. But yet it seems, you know, the matter that there are some persons who believe or who feel that they are above the laws that is set. But yet our institutions that is supposed to mandate that these persons are arrested, put before the courts, and fined. This is the problem that I have with this whole matter. Because if it was you or I, Aaron, they would have had us before the courts a long time ago. It is mandated. It is not if you wish that these things are to be done. It is our mandate. It's a must that you do it. But yet we as the citizenry, we continue to sit by, allow this thing to slide, and yet there's no public outcry to get these politicians and their families to disclose as pertaining to the law. I mean, when is this nonsense going to stop? That is why the country is the way that it is. It is the ordinary citizen, their bosses out here, who are telling them to disclose, and they refuse to disclose. So who is the master, and who is the slave in this whole scenario? It seems as if we as Bahamians, in closing, we choose to worship and idolize these politicians and not getting them to do what they are supposed to do. But yet we're giving them a slide when they, the servant or the employee, does not give the employer the chance to slide on anything much. We got to fix this problem. A lot of us out here are vexed. And if it wasn't because of the mandate of the laws that is upon us, that we fear the law so much that if we were to do something outside that the law dictates that we should not do, and we do it, we would be the first ones to get picked up and carried in, charged, and put before the courts. This nonsense must stop, okay? That's all I can say on this. Thanks for taking my call this morning.
Absolutely, thank you.
Aaron, it seems like it's 12 of you all who are concerned. Because the rest of us ain't concerned at all. The all 12 can make noise on the radio all you want. We ain't interested.
Plus the person whose call we missed just now. I'm sorry about that.
You can call back.
Call back. I got a text here that says the current PM of India doesn't speak with the press. Were you talking about the most recently elected president, Murmu? Or are you talking about who's the last president of India? Is that Modi? I think it was Modi, that guy. Ooh. Yeah, I don't know if I like that. Skippings just called the Guardian Radio and said nothing about public disclosure, but she commented on press matters this morning. I think that Skippings was pressed, to call, pun intended, in regards to an international publication.
Yes.
That Mr. Strawn was reading from. And I would like to encourage that engagement. It's a beginning, even if we have to start there.
Perhaps we need Bahamians to, and for lack of a better word, leak information to international press to say, we ain't there. We ain't ready.
Man,
but wouldn't that be treason?
How you know? No, I mean, you would call it treason. Some people would call it whistleblowing.
When did Roddy Monker get charged with back in the 80s? Sedition? Wouldn't that be sedition? You start giving out the information about the Bahamas and how the government is incompetent and whatever it is. Yeah, get locked up.
Anyway, I don't want to give out any information. Yeah, it is Modi. Hey, that boy. Mm. You know, in the pandemic, he made an announcement. He's like, look here, y'all have like 4 hours to get home for the lockdown. Some people had to to travel like thousands of miles.
And that's a country that is cutting people behind who is on the road. I mean, real cut
listen,
behind.
Caller, you got 30 seconds. I have to read this article today because the Tribune was gracious enough to print it for me. Good morning, caller.
Morning. You know, Aaron and Mary, when you look at it, that's why our country can never be better. The authorities are not disclosing what they're supposed to be doing every year. So you can have this wall man on the street, man. They getting away with this. I might as well do wrong, too, but they got to understand. They can get locked up, and the authorities can always get away. And that's the problem we have in this country. Today, there's no enforcement. One thing I like in the United States, they have the issue. But somebody believes in somebody.
Yeah.
You know, when somebody do wrong, somebody on their tail. But here, the authorities, the parliamentarians could get away with anything. And so we will continue to have this issue with crime and behavior and everything until our politicians get their act together. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And Mr. Newry, one of the articles I had lined up, in fact, the same Voting Registration Act and the insurance issue. One of the actors in the insurance space said, listen, the real issue is a lack of enforcement. That's why insurance companies don't want to provide this type of coverage. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Morning, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Am I on the show?
You are. You're breaking up a little bit, but you are.
I'm breaking up a little bit.
You're clearer now. Much better.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. Good show, Aaron.
Thank you, ma'am.
I'm just calling to say that I agree 100% with Jeffrey and 52. But what they have to understand is these people will do what they want to do because they are in position of authority. Those of us who are voters of this country, let us bear in mind that a future day is coming. And when we get to the polls, we ought to know what to do when we get there and execute. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, that is definitely one strategy. One strategy. Okay, here we go. To the article in today's Tribune, disclosures filed by some MPs as others decline response. As the deadline for filing financial declarations is required by the Public Disclosure Act, comma, I think the missing word there is approaches, a number of members of parliament confirmed they had filed on time, although several others declined to say or did not respond. The deadline this year was March 31st, according to Acting Press Secretary Keishla Adley, although last year the deadline was March 1st, which is the date in the Public Disclosure Act. Stick a pin. The commission can extend. So once the March 1st deadline hits, the commission, the act empowers the commission to extend for 30 days. Beyond that, so even the 31st is beyond the extension. Anyway, March 1st to the 31st, we give them those 30 days. Continuing from the article, the Tribune canvassed MPs, with most saying that they met the deadline or filed in advance. Last year, it was unclear at the time if Prime Minister Philip Davis had made the deadline. Earlier that month, Mr. Davis said his public disclosures would be filed on March 2nd if the documents had not been turned over on the deadline. Office of the Prime Minister, Director of Communications, Latre Ramming, said Mr. Davis did file on time this year. Cabinet ministers who said they met the deadline were Chester Cooper, Minister of Tourism and Aviation and Investments. I don't even know what DPM means anymore. Grand Bahama Minister Ginger Moxie, Education Minister Glenys Hannah-Martin, National Security Minister Wayne Monroe, Works and Family Island Affairs Minister Clay Sweeting, Labor and Public Service Minister Pia Glover, Energy and Transport Minister Jo Beth Colby Davis, Housing and Urban Renewal Minister Keith Bell, Office of the PM and Social Services State Minister Miles LaRota, Environment and Natural Resources Minister Vaughn Miller, Youth Sports and Culture Minister Mario Boleg, and Environment and Natural Resources State Minister Zane Lightburn. Several weeks ago, Health and Wellness Minister Darville told the Tribune he had not filed at that time. This newspaper attempted to contact him for follow-up, but was unsuccessful up to press time. When asked about disclosure, his Foreign Affairs Minister Fred Mitchell declined to say and said to speak to Public Disclosure Commission Chairman Victor Cooper. Bishop Victor Cooper. But Bishop Cooper told the Tribune he was out of town and to call the disclosure office. Although it was the Easter weekend. All opposition MPs said they had filed on time. Other MPs who confirmed included Seabreeze MP Leslie Miller-Bryce, North Andres and the Berry Islands MP Leonardo Lightburn, Michael MP Basil McIntosh, Central and South Abaco MP John Pinder, and West Grand Bahama and Bimini MP Kingsley Smith. The Tribune was unable to reach a number of parliamentarians, including Immigration and National Insurance Minister Alfred Sayers, Agriculture and Marine Resources Minister Jomo Campbell, and Housing and Urban Renewal Minister Lisa Ramming. Bishop Cooper indicated that 90% of parliamentarians had filed by the March 1st deadline. He said last year many senators and senior civil servants failed to disclose their assets, incomes, and liabilities. The Public Disclosure Act empowers only two people to act on delinquent filings, the Prime Minister and the Leader of the Opposition. Either of them can publish the information through a communication in the House of Assembly or cause for it to be laid in the Senate. Either can authorize that the information be presented to the Attorney General or Commissioner of Police, so those who fail to disclose could face a penalty. The penalty for not disclosing is a $10,000 fine. Mr. Newry, the gods caused me to choke before I said this, or 2 years in prison. Good morning, caller. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Newry. Listen, Pumpkin Eater,
you get 30 seconds.
Yeah, I say good morning. First of all, I want to say to some of your callers, politicians don't get away with anything. That's not so in our country. They're making our system look horrible because there are two politicians were charged last year.
For not filing public disclosures? Has anybody been fined or brought before the courts since 2011, because 2011 is when the last public disclosures and declarations were gazetted. And that exercise only comes
to 2008. I agree with you on that, but I'm talking about this broad paintbrush.
Oh, Pumpkin Eater. Sweeting is about to get on the list. I just didn't want anybody to say I was being unfair and being racist. Sweeting is going to be on the list to resign or be fired. Says,
who's Sweden?
Clay Sweden. The Minister of National Security is on the list.
For what? For what? What are you on the list for?
Clay Sweden?
Oh, what are you resigning for?
What should he resign for?
Yeah.
Do you not see the state of the roads? The lack of public infrastructure?
I didn't get into that area.
I mean, they've been getting to that for the last 35 years.
They are paving some roads now. Yeah,
right? I mean, Pumpkin Eater, they have to pave roads all the time. We in the tropics. There should be a continuous road paving program.
Because like you mentioned, we are the tropics. That's one of the reasons why we got to pave roads all the time. Because
right, but the government don't believe in that.
Well, I guess so.
You call a name and I can tell you why they need to resign.
You say I got 30 seconds. I do it next year.
Okay, then.
Have a good day.
You have a great day, too, Pumpkin Eater. Because I think the Bishop Cooper and the Leader of the Opposition and the Prime Minister is sort of missing the point. Mr. Newry, can I pick this article up on the other side of the break?
I actually have a guess.
You have a guess?
I have a guess.
Man, you didn't tell me you had a guess.
We have a guess. This has to be Wednesday.
You April Fool's in me now, man.
No, we have a guess.
You should have told me that.
This Tuesday,
anyway,
Pumpkin Eater,
I thank you for your graciousness just now as I rushed you along. Perhaps on Wednesday we can get into the real meat of the matter, which is this. In the article, some politicians miss public disclosure deadline. Official says the 6th of March, 2024. When Cooper reiterated comments he made last week when he told the Nassau Guardian that the PDC hopes to soon launch an online portal where information on public disclosures will be uploaded for public scrutiny. There is a portal that already exists called the Gazetting Office. You'll find that you cannot put any information on an online portal until it's been gazetted. The problem is not the lack of an online portal. The problem is the lack of gazetting. And maybe when we have more time, we'll talk about how the Office of the Public Disclosure Committee appears to be operating in 1845 with no electronics whatsoever. It is an interesting story, and I am almost pleased. I'm almost pleased I don't have enough time to talk about it any further. You guys, we are out of time. Thank you for joining me.